kingdom power systems. The motive must be right. The intent must be sponsoring God's intent. So you don't stop at being blessed. You go on to be a blessing. Because being a blessing is the essence of blessing. It's a life of spirit. You can't live your life to time and chance. It's dangerous. Let me tell you something. This gospel is not a joke. We have invisible powers that work with us. Understand the kingdom passes. When power hits the floor, the people are weak. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in power. Hallelujah. Kingdom power systems. Part 2. Today we'll be talking about prophecy. Now, for many years, the body of Christ has relegated topics like these and the likes only for Bible school. We have made it an exclusive reserve for those that we are training, quote and unquote, for pulpit ministry. Hallelujah. For ministry, quote and unquote. Glory to God. And that was a serious mistake. A very, very... Now, I say that is a mistake for obvious reasons. There's nothing in the Bible theologically, doctrinally that supports that. It was just a division that people made based on their level of knowledge. And that has had a very negative impact on the body of Christ. You see, every time I hear a story, I gave you a story last week. Every time I hear stories like that, and there are many stories like that, of believers with sincerity, believers with honest hearts, believers who truly love God and who wants to honor the Lord with the works of their hands in the public spaces, in the marketplaces of life. They get confronted with the powers of darkness, and in the face of those powers demonstrate such ignorance and helplessness that is unnecessary. Had they been taught about God's provision for them as far as his power is concerned. Are you with me? And you see, God never sends a man without empowering the man for the assignment. The very understanding that every believer has an assignment necessitates demonstrations of his power, necessitates the believer being schooled and trained in how to walk in the power of God. Except don't believe that every believer is called, but the Bible is very clear about that. It said he has called us and given us the ministry of reconciliation, right? He gave us the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, and the word of reconciliation. So every believer has an assignment. I can't go into excessive teaching about that now. I'm just citing that to give direction to our teaching. So if every believer has an assignment, if every believer has a purpose that is carried out through the assignment, okay, which is what we call destiny, that means every believer must be taught, must be trained, must be schooled in the ways of kingdom power. It's non-negotiable, because there is no way to prosecute your assignment on the earth, a part of purpose, the enterprise of destiny, without spiritual power. It's not possible. It's not possible. Hallelujah. It's not possible. And back to the Bible, the prophecy of Joel 2 was for all flesh. Yes. He says, in the last days, yet God, I will pour out my spirit upon how many? Upon all flesh. Nobody excluded. Then he began to list the category of people. There is nobody under the sound of my voice. In fact, there is nobody in the world who doesn't fit into the category. Is it sons, daughters, old men, okay, young men, handmaid, men servants, all flesh, he says. All flesh, he says. All flesh, he says. In fact, animals included. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Of course, in a limited way. Are you with me? When Jesus talked about power in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and in the different places where he spoke about walking in power, he spoke to the whole congregation. He didn't separate the 10 apostles. Sorry, the 12 apostles. He never suggested that. Acts 1:8, he spoke to the whole congregation. Different the other places, he spoke to the whole congregation. He spoke to his disciples. He said, tarry here until you are indeed with what? power from on high. He was talking to his disciples, not just the leaders of the church. That's my point. He saw everybody. You know, 3 years ago, I believe it was 2019 or early 2020, the Lord spoke to me in a way that was very remarkable. It's something I've known before, but there's a way he presented it that got my attention. And this was what the Lord said. He said, look, a marketplace ministry is going to be for people who were raised like they were going to go into full-time ministry. Now, that is remarkable. I mean, quote unquote, full-time ministry. And I know what he was talking about. He said, look, those that will carry my name properly, excellently, in the marketplaces of life, are those who deals with me as though they are being prepared for traditional full-time ministry. Never forget what I just told you. You can write it somewhere. Now, what would mean traditional full-time ministry? Of course, over the years, the church has emphasized the need for those whose assignment is on the pulpit to be equipped with supernatural power. The church has emphasized those whose assignment is on the pulpit to be trained, discipled, disciplined, educated in the way of God's power. And that's what the Lord is saying. So you notice if you're in school, there is this separation, there is this dichotomy, so to say, between those who are training for ministry and those who are just practicing Christianity on campus to just serve God all the days of your life. How many of you understand what I'm trying to say? So you see certain people, you'll be like, this one is going to be a pastor. For example, I was called a class pastor in school. In fact, even in the yearbook, you said, they said, if you enter into the class and you see a guy animated, talking scriptures, whose talk is interjected here and there with tongues, don't be alarmed. Somebody is in class. Hallelujah. Praise God. So there was an orientation that, look, the way this guy is serious with God, he wants to be a pastor. Am I alone in that observation? Is somebody with me on that? Now, what I'm simply saying is this, that actually God's vision is that every believer is that serious in the pursuit of God, because every believer has an assignment that would demand a consecration to God, that would demand an understanding of the dynamics of kingdom power, that would demand an understanding of the ways of God and the power of God. That's what I'm saying. And that was what God was trying to tell me. That is for those who have the dealings of full-time ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. And this is why I'm passionate about this. Listen, the ministry of teachers, especially in strategic teachings like this, is very important. It is through teaching we give to people the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. Something happened in 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, something remarkable happened there. The Bible says, in those days, listen, teachers are wordsmiths. Amen. And the parallel in the natural are, what do you call, is it blacksmith to call them? Those who beat, who make swords, who make spears in those days. They call them the blacksmiths. That is what teachers do. Through the ministry of a teacher, enabled by the Holy Ghost, we empower believers who put swords in their hands. So the Bible says, in those days, there were no swords, there were no smiths, no blacksmiths in all of Israel. So the children of Israel have to go to the Philistines to make knives, to make spear, glory to God, to sharpen their swords. For those who had it, actually, if you read further, media, you have the scripture now, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19. Hallelujah. Not a blacksmith could be found in the whole land of Israel. Because the Philistines had said, otherwise the Hebrews make swords and spears. It's the same thing Satan is doing today. He wants to raise a generation of believers who don't have sword and spear. So he de-emphasizes, I've told you before, when Satan wants to destroy generation, there's something he does. He looks for a truth. He looks for a potent truth. Or he looks for a system that God has created to help that generation and begins to cover it with a veil. Are you with me? He covers with a veil. He creates controversies around that system, around the truth. He sponsors scandals around that system, around the truth. Are you with me? It's the same thing he does. He makes it look boring, but he ought not to be. He was sponsored by the Philistines. And what happened? The children of Israel began to go to the Philistines. And what does that mean spiritually? Every time a generation lack teachers, lack people who are passionate about what God wants, about how God wants to equip his people, people who are passionate to put swords in the hands of God's people, the sword of the Spirit, which is the realm of God, which is the word of God, in the hands of the people go for demonic alternatives. Philistines is the type of the world. So you see churches, people come to church on Sunday and go to see Sangomas on Monday, Babala was on Monday. Are you with me? They come to church, but when they come under pressure, even when they know that this so-called prophet is false, how can a prophet tell you to bring white goats with red clothes, with blue candle? New Testament. Why? He said, no, there's nothing wrong, just special prayer.
Wow.
But how did people get there? No swords. No swords. No swords. They never had teachers who can put swords in their hands. Is it because the Philistines said, next verse? Verse 20. He said, so all of Israel went down to the Philistines to have their plowshare, their mattocks, their axes, and their sickle sharpen. Can you imagine? To make them dependent on the world system. Next. Are you blessed by what I'm sharing? All right, prize us to third of shekel. Next, verse 22. Only pastor and assistant pastor had sword. 22. So on the day of the battle, not a soldier with Saul or Jonathan had a sword or spear in his hand. Only Saul and his son Jonathan had a sword. It's not the same thing today. You go to a church, only a pastor and his assistant pastor, a pastor and his wife understand the word. The other ones are dependent. They are sowing battle seed. They are... Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All I'm doing is to make you see the importance of being equipped, of having sword in your hands. Because in the day of battle, it is a disaster to have only Saul and Jonathan have sword. The Bible said it categorically. He said no soldier had a sword. How are they going to win if not for supernatural intervention? If you are blessed, I'm blessed. Glory to God forevermore. So you can't prosecute the enterprise of destiny without spiritual power. Last week we said revelation knowledge is your entrance, is your doorway into spiritual power. In Matthew chapter 16, 14 to 18, Peter by the Spirit had the revelation of Christ as the Lord, as the Christ of God. And Jesus told him, on account of this revelation, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Keys are metaphorical of power and authority. So Peter's access to that power was the revelation of the Christus. Hallelujah. So any pursuit of spiritual power without the revelation of Christ will make you an idol worshiper and a babalawo in the future. Let me explain again. Maybe you didn't hear that. Any pursuit of spiritual power, because people hear things like this and they don't have context to it. Just since I mentioned spiritual power, remember we classified it as kingdom power system. So in the kingdom, everything is for the king. Amen. Everything is for the king. So this is not power for selfish interest. This is not power to do what you want. This is not power to oppress another human being. This is not power to show that you have power. There's a purpose to the power. It is the kingdom. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And the beginning of that adventure for Peter, from the scripture that we read, was his revelation of Christ. Thou art Jesus, the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. That's the beginning. So Jesus emphasized and prioritized revelation knowledge. Let's just continue in that line. Hallelujah. The apostles understood and prioritized revelation knowledge. We saw in the Pauline epistle, glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. The only accredited route of spiritual power is Christ. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's in the revelation of his person, his principles, and your place in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, number two, prophecy. Prophecy. Ezekiel 37, we'll read 1 to 8. Numbers 11, 29 to 31. And Acts 2, 14 to 19. Prophecy. Prophecy. You see, prophecy is a potent channel of God's power in the earth. It is. Prophecy is different from speeches and words of encouragement. It is supernatural utterance in a known tongue. That means when we talk about prophecy, you are looking at words spoken at a very high energy level. Prophecy is not the same as word of knowledge. Again, the 21st century church has that confused. Somebody comes and says, oh, I see your name is Samuel. Your phone number is so and so. They say, prophesy. That is not prophecy. Are you with me? At best, that is word of knowledge. And the worst it can get could be familiar spirits, because that is going on. Are you with me? And by the way, how much emphasis did Jesus place on things like that? That's the question you ask yourself. How much emphasis did the early church place on things like that? They only used it to win souls. Are you with me? There was always a purpose to such things. It was not used to create a market. Okay, so that people can be rushing and buying things and buying talisman and all the nonsense going on. Are you with me?
Yes,
so that is not prophecy. Prophecy is supernatural utterance in a known tongue. Prophecy is speaking forth the mind of God. Prophecy is releasing God's word under the anointing of God's spirit to create, to effect changes on the earth. And that is why it has power. Because the word of God is the vehicle that transports his power. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 1, sorry, chapter 37. 1 to 8. You see, once you know God's word, there's a way fake people are afraid of you. That's the truth. Somebody met somebody on the road who told her about her mother and her sibling, and then she started shaking. And the next day, the person asked for transfer of money. The first thing is, why were you shaking? Why were you shaking? I know these things sell more in Africa. More in Africa because of the superstitious disposition that Africans have. It's in Africa, you see, a church member who has never given 1 million to his pastor meets a prophet on the road, and after the conversation, he transfers 5 million to the prophet. Why? Listen, it has no value for the genuine labor of his pastor over him through the years. He doesn't see the value of the systematic growth and the systematic communication of God's word that equips, grows, and nourishes him over the years. But the instant one that looks dramatic flings him. Of course, not in this church. Hallelujah. I say not in this church. Can we go on now? Can we read that? And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass them round about. Just put it on the screen. I'll get it here so I can go faster. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And caused me to pass by a roundabout, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. So verse 1 said the valley was full of bones, right? And the bones were very dry. We're talking about kingdom power system, part 2, prophecy. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. What the wise response. Again he said unto him, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to come into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring off flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, isn't this amazing? A valley of right. Of course, there's a prophetic, there is a Christocentric explanation of that. Okay. But you see, I want us to learn a lesson about the power of prophecy from this portion of scripture. So, God, the Spirit of the Lord, takes a prophet to a valley full of dry bones. Hopeless situation. He didn't say they were just dry, he said they were very dry. Hallelujah. Meaning it was a situation where there was no human way, there was no human calculation, no human system, no human technology can bring an army out of a dry bone. Only the power of God can do that. And God is teaching the prophet that, look, yes, this is hopeless, and yes, my power can make a difference, but the bridge is prophecy.
Yes, sir.
Kai.
Yes, sir.
So God began to talk to him about what he could do. But you see, while God was talking, nothing changed. It's the same thing today. Your life has already been programmed in scriptures. Just like David said, my members were written in your book before I was formed. Jesus said, behold, lo, I come to do your will, O God. As it is written of me in the volume of the books, lo, I come to do your will, O God. It's the same thing for every believer. Your life has been programmed. Your life has been spoken about. We are children of prophecy. We are product of prophecy. Hallelujah. That means there's no place you are supposed to be. There's nothing you're supposed to have that scripture, that the prophets have not prophesied about. Absolutely nothing. All of your sojourn on the earth has been written in his book. I'm going somewhere. They have been written. Follow me closely. It's the same thing that God was trying to show the prophet. While God said it and painted a picture through his word of what he wanted to see, nothing happened. Until a man on earth took those words on his lips and began to speak in faith. So he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and behold a shaking. And the bones came together. Bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. And skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. After you prophesied and saw some changes, but it wasn't complete, doesn't mean it should stop. It doesn't mean it should stop. Flesh came upon them, sinews, muscles, flesh came upon them. That was a miracle already, but that was not the full picture. He said there was no life, no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, and prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah. Numbers 11. Numbers 11. We just do 29 to 31. We'll come back to some of these scriptures, hopefully. Hi. And Moses said unto him, you know the background. Enviest thou for my sake? I would God that all of the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord will put his spirit upon them. And Moses got himself into the camp, and he and the elders of Israel, 31. And they went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought the quails from the sea. And they fell by the camp, as it was a day journey on either side. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a place I wanted us to see. No problem. Let's go to Acts 2. Let's go to Acts 2. Thank you, Lord. Reading the scriptures alone is blessing me. I don't know about you. I'm just blessed reading the scriptures. Okay. 14. Now, this was the day of Pentecost. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaiden, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens and signs in the earth. And beneath, blood and fire, and pillars of vapors of smoke. Hallelujah. Look up at me. You see, there is a parallel of every spiritual gift in the recreated human spirit. What do I mean by that? When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible is about 9 spiritual gifts, right? Okay, special manifestation of the spirit in public ministry. He talked about the gift of prophecy there. But see, the confusion many have when we talk about prophecy is that they relate with it only in the light of the gift of prophecy. And that's why I said there is a parallel in the recreated human spirit of every of the spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That means every believer should walk in discernment in a measure. He may not be the gift of discerning of spirit. Every believer can lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. But it doesn't mean they have the gift of healings for public ministry. Are you with me? We can all run, but Usain Bolt has the gift of running. Can't you run? Even if it's 30 seconds, you can do 100 meters. But he does it in 9 seconds. I mean, I don't know if he has reduced it. Amen. 9 point something. That is a gift for public display. The same thing with prophecy. So it is in every believer to prophesy. It may not be the public ministry of prophesying, but every believer has the ability to prophesy. Now, prophecy has 2 streams. There is foretelling. Again, another area that we have to clarify. There is foretelling and there is foretelling. Foretelling means to speak the mind of God from divine appearances. It's basically visionary. You get to see something, okay, and it's mostly predictive. In fact, that is common with seer prophet. Are you with me? But that is just an aspect of prophecy. There is forth-telling. Forth-telling means to speak forth the word of God according to prophecy. Let me explain what I mean. Or let me put it this way first. To speak forth the word of God that is consistent with his will under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That is forth-telling. And that is for every believer. And that is based on the finished works of Jesus. You see, in the Bible, you will see that prophecy is used interchangeably as scripture and as a gift. Now, when Peter said, no prophecy of old is of private interpretation, you're talking about the scripture. When Peter said, but we have a more sure word or prophecy, he was talking about the scripture. So when you hear the Bible in certain places called prophecy, it's talking about the scripture. I'm going somewhere. He's talking about the scripture. He's talking about the scripture. So this prophesying does not happen without the prophecy. I'm going somewhere. Now, what is the central core scripture? Christ and him crucified. Christ and his works. That's the central core of scripture. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, quickly. Revelation 19, verse 10. Are you blessed? Shakabalakaya. Now, what I'm simply saying before we explain further with this scripture is that the energy of prophecy is the testimony of scripture. The power of prophecy, of this forth telling, is the testimony of scripture. That's what we're saying. That's the power. That is the energy. That is the life. Now look at this. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that you do not do it. I am your fellow servant. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. For the testimony of Jesus is the life of prophecy. For the testimony of Jesus is the potency of prophecy. For the testimony of scripture is the energy of Jesus, is the energy of prophecy. Now, why am I using interchangeably? Christ is the central core of scripture. Glory to God. That means a believer's life will always take a new turn when he begins to see Jesus as the central theme of the Bible, as the core of the scripture. Jesus said in John chapter 5 verse 39, he said, you go to the scripture thinking that you see me there, thinking that you see God. He said, they are they which testify of me. A translation says, everything you read in the scripture points to me. Everything points to me. Everything points to me. That means in the Genesis 3 prophecy, when he said the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of you serpents, you see that he's talking about Christ. You have to see it. Oh, glory to God. That means you have to see him in the visions of Abraham. When God told Abraham, come out of your tent, look to the heavens, see if you can tell the story of the stars. He says, so shall your seed be. And God used astrology to describe to him the victory of Christ. Yes, in Galatians 2 we see that Abraham was the first to hear the gospel. Amen. Not really the first. Adam and Eve heard the gospel, or probably they did not understand. But in Galatians 2, he's telling us that God preached the gospel to Abraham in that his vision. You must see Christ there. You must see Christ in Joseph. Sold by his brethren, went into the pit, sold to the foreign land Egypt, lied upon, sent into the dungeon, a type of hell. There he gave testimony to two kinds of people, the same thing that Jesus did in Hades. One restored to the Father, the other one their doom was sealed. Then he was raised to sit at the right hand of Pharaoh as the leader over all the realm, the same way Jesus was raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of majesty on high as the head of the kingdom of heaven. You must see him in Moses, in the rod of Moses. When he dropped that rod and he became a serpent, that was Christ being made sin. He said, pick it up again. After he became a rod, he said, now with this rod, with this resurrection power, go and do signs, go and deliver my people. You must see him. You must see him. See him in the Jewish feast. We talked about that extensively in the Joyful Psalm. He said, blessed are the people that know the significance of the Jewish feast. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. So when you see the Passover, it's not about people just dancing and marking their doorposts with the blood of the Lamb. He said, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. It was the story that God was telling about Christ and his eternal purpose. So when you see that in scripture, he's saying, this is the life of prophecy. Are you with me? One day John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. That is the testimony of Jesus. When you know that your sins are taken away. You know that you are accepted of the beloved. What he's saying is this understanding of what Jesus has done is the power, is the life of prophecy. He's saying this testimony of scripture that has to do with God's love demonstrated through Jesus, his coming, his death, his burial, the power released at his resurrection, directed towards us who believe, is the life of prophecy. That's what he's saying. He said the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. A body without the spirit is dead, you know now. That's what he said. So when we're prophesying, we in scripture, do you understand? It is the prophecy. It is Christ and his works. Because truly, when you see the works of Christ concerning you, your eyes are opened by revelation. And this is why it begins with revelation knowledge. Your eyes are open to see who he is, the reality of his person, the power of his principle, and the certainty of your place in him. You will speak with boldness. You will not think as a beggar. You will not talk as a pauper. You will not walk as one who is defeated. You will walk with boldness. There will be springs in your feet. Are you with me? He said, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. You know that you are an heir. You are not a hustler. So when you are prophesying, himself took my infirmity and bore my sicknesses. By his stripes I were healed. You see, you are prophesying. The energy of that prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. The life of that prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. What he has done. You won't take what life gives to you. No, Christ has done something. There's a confidence when you speak. And true, it is true prophecy that we catapult ourselves into manifest greatness. It's true prophecy. Prophecy is the compass with which you chart your course on the earth. Just like when God said it, nothing happened until Ezekiel said it. It doesn't matter what God has said. It doesn't matter the testimony of Jesus. The bridge is prophecy. You must talk under the influence of the Holy Ghost. You must speak under the anointing of God's Spirit. You must speak consistently. Ligeburapata. Oh, there's the power generated. Now, if you go to that Numbers 11, something happened. Before the places I read, the Bible says, and God came and took of the spirit that was upon Moses and placed it upon the 70 elders. What happened? They began to prophesy. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. They had the spirit upon. We have the spirit within. He says, they began to prophesy and did not cease. That means they prophesied for a long time. Can I tell you something? It was the power of that prophecy that generated the wind that met their needs. It was the power of that prophecy. They prophesied without ceasing. Abaco. You know that God never did anything without the agency of a man. What God was, everything that God did, he did through Moses. Moses had to speak. Moses had to stretch his rod. But God was telling Moses, okay, this thing is not just you. There's a system that I have forecasted. There's a system I have designed. You see, why did God tell Moses that now, don't strike the rock, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. And he so offended God that he didn't allow Egypt and Moses enter the promised land. quite, God was setting a precedence. He was. He was. He was. He said, this rock is Christ. He will be struck once. After that, Kabedola Kapaya. Ele Bokopaya. He becomes an eternal fountain. Oh, an eternal fountain. That whoever comes by faith. How did you get saved? He said, if you can believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. You have to say something to be saved. You have to say something to be saved. You have to say something to be saved. This was the picture God was painting to Moses. He said, after Christ is struck once, the rest. Listen, our principle of possession in the New Testament is talking. In the Old Testament, they were told, anywhere the soles of your feet can touch, you are possessed. That's a lower level. In the New Testament, lacking. Anything, any boundary you can cover with your mouth comes into your hands. That is a principle for possession in the New Testament. In fact, it began with Abraham. God told him, look, northward, southward, eastward, westward, as far as your eyes can see, I have given to you to possess. Guess what? Abraham would have gone around the world. The Lord told him, say, stand, arise, walk to the length and breadth of your inheritance. How did Abraham possess the whole world? In his heart. And by proclaiming the testimony of God. Because he believed in God's testimony and gave glory to God. Yes, he did. They prophesied and prophesied until there was a wind. Until there was a wind. And that wind blew quails, hit them on either side of the camp. The power of prophecy. Any future you want to see, you prophesy it. That's why I tell you that prophecy is forthtelling. It's not just foretelling. Forthtelling. You are speaking forth the word of God. The power of prophecy. You speak it. And you walk in the reality of it. This is how the system is designed. What you have not said, you can't feature in it. You can't. No, you can't. You will speak it. You will declare it. And your eyes will see it come to pass. In Genesis, I wonder what God did. He saw that the whole world was in chaos. Tohu bohu. Formless. God did not complain about the formlessness. In the same way, you are not to complain about the so-called formlessness around your life. That is not what to do. You let the Spirit of God hover. You let the Spirit of God hover. How do you do that? Worship. Praying in other tongues. Yes, meditation on God's word. Confession of God's word. There's a difference between confession and prophecy. As you are confessing and speaking in tongues, the Spirit of God is hovering. Then it starts coming out. You start feeling like something rubbling from within you. Words. Words. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know, you are not speaking. I told you, it's not words of encouragement. No, it's not normal speech. Those words go forth at a very high energy levels. You are listen, nothing on the earth can stand the power of prophecy. Nothing. 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 Let me tell you something. Something. You see, when you are faced with difficult situations, hopeless situation, or you want to cross from here there, and it's as though there is no way, take our time to prophesy. And you see, you don't start prophesying by saying, prophesy, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to the other side. It's like bullet in the hand and bullet in the gun. I love that illustration. If I have my prayer, you see, this bullet has, let's assume this is a bullet. It has the power to even kill a human being, not just an animal. Just imagine I saw a lion and I want to kill the lion. Or an antelope, let me be nice. I saw an antelope and I want to kill the antelope. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is a bullet. This bullet has the ability to kill the antelope, true or false? The same thing, words have power. But you see, that statement is not complete. Words come at different power levels. If I carry this bullet in my hand and look at the antelope and throw the bullet at the antelope, you know, nothing will happen. Nothing. As powerful as the bullet is. But if I carry the same bullet and put it in a gun and cock the gun and I point at the antelope and release this bullet at a particular energy, at a particular speed, brothers and sisters, that antelope is coming down. So you can throw words out with low energy, but you can decide to invest. You don't rush to prophesy. No. Put it inside the system. Put it inside a system. It could be scriptures that God has given you, it's fine. But don't rush to say, put it inside a system. Speak in tongues. What's the system? Being filled with the Holy Ghost. You pray in tongues. You sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You worship until you are boiling. You are boiling. You are boiling. You are boiling. You will notice that the word will come out of your mouth at a force. It will come out like balls of fire. Yes, because prophecies are spoken under the anointing of God's Spirit. We call it supernatural utterance in a known tongue. It can come by impression. It can come by vision. It can come by the spirit of seeing and knowing. But it is different. Oh, it is different. Lakepetosika. It is different. Prophecy. The power of prophecy. He says, as I prophesied, there was a noise and a rattling. This has live application. Prophecy is not foretelling. It's not just foretelling the future. It's foretelling. It's changing circumstances. You can use it to your advantage. Can I get an amen? Yes, you can. And remember, the life of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. The spirit of prophecy, what animates prophecy, is the testimony of Jesus. Hallelujah. What has he done? He has raised you with him, and you are seated with him in the heavenly realms, far above principalities and powers. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Aleba, don't complain, prophesy. Prophesy. There's power in it. It's amazing. How many Christians can prophesy? Or know that they can prophesy? I told you. See, real warfare is not every enemy pursue me, fall. No. That is the least level in spiritual warfare. Least level. Let me tell you. Satan has moved his war to an ideological level. He has. Real warfare. He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to God. To what? To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down reasonings, imaginations, and everything that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Listen, when Satan can sponsor ignorance so that the believer doesn't know that there is power in prophecy, he's winning the battle. Yes, he's winning the battle. Once he can shroud the whole thing in darkness, he's winning the battle. But the day light comes, his power is broken. He's called the king of the kingdom of darkness. That means he rules in ignorance. He rules in fear and in ignorance. That's what we're saying. You can prophesy. You can. So in practice, what did you get filled with the Holy Ghost? Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Give me Ephesians 5. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, true prophecy. In Job chapter 14, verse 9 to 11, I believe. Job 14, 7 to 9. He says, there is hope for a tree. There is hope for a tree. Put that scripture for me. For there is hope for a tree. If it be cut down, that it will spring again. That the tender branches thereof will not cease. There is hope for a tree. That means there are no hopeless situations. I mean, say you cut down a tree, there's hope. There's hope. It's as though the business has scattered. There's hope. It's as though what can come out of this marriage, there's hope. It's as though what can come out of this situation, there's hope. Verse 8 and verse 9. Oh, there's hope for a tree that it will sprout again. Though the roots thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. He's giving pictures of negative circumstances. Amen. But in different layers. But say there's hope for a tree. Why? Verse 9. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud. You see, water is symbolic of prophetic word. That's what water is. You see, he that believes in me, as the prophecy has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of living waters. He said, this is spake concerning the Holy Ghost, which they that believe shall receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, when you study the Bible, what's the first thing that happens when the Holy Ghost comes upon people? Mouth. Yeah. Joel prophecy, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. In Numbers chapter 11, and the Lord came down and took of the spirit that was upon Moses and put them upon the 70 elders. What did they do? They began to prophesy. You go and read Acts of the Apostles. In Acts 2, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Are you with me? Everywhere. As the God filled in Acts 10, the same thing happened. In Acts 19, the same thing happened. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, prophesying and praising God. Yet at the scent of water. See, if that situation can smell water, it will bud. If your finances can smell water, it will bud. That's all we're saying. Oh, kabeto sapa. If that career can smell the scent of water, it will bud. It will bud. It will bud. This is why we record prophecies. So you can take home and prophesy with the prophets. You know, so I prophesy with the prophets. Ilibeku sabaya. You prophesy with the prophets. You play those prophecies and then you prophesy. As you have seen me, you are prophesying. Listen, this is the power for your future. This is the power to turn today and shape tomorrow. It is prophecy. This is how to bring greatness out. Listen, every man will manifest the speakings over his life in the process of time. You will. So don't keep quiet. You don't pay to prophesy. You just need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You prophesy. Nothing can stop the force of prophecy. Doors will open. Yes, things. You see, earth will begin to arrange themselves, organize themselves to create the condition for the manifestation of the word spoken. Always. Always. Is it here through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Rise to your feet. We'll read Ephesians 5 standing. When you are not sure what to do, prophesy. When you think about the future and there is no human way of getting there, prophesy. Prophesy. Ephesians 5. It says, and don't be drunk with wine where it's in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. The margin says, be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Meaning be consistently. He's talking about continuous infilling, right? With the Holy Ghost. Next verse, we're reading to 22. Now, he begins to show you how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking to yourselves. This is not speaking to one another. No. In Colossians also, he says, speaking to one another. Here, he says, speaking to yourselves. In hymns, in psalms, in spiritual song. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Speaking to yourselves. Have you learned how to speak to yourself? You see, there are believers who still think this is a joke. No, it's not a joke. It's your life. Again, in Africa, we use certain illustrations to explain the reality of some of the truths to people. When they go to see those babalawos and they tell them to make these incantations, they do it. They do it. Speaking to yourself. Speaking to yourselves. Listen, not everyone who speaks to himself is mad. No. Speaking to yourselves. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How could I feel? I'm the seed of Abraham, an heir according to the promise. Thank you, Lord. You have invested your name on me. You are speaking to yourselves. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Yes, yet do I walk to the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. His rod is staff that comforts me. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, you are speaking to yourselves. You are speaking to yourself. Oh, the pleasure of the Lord prosper. Can you go ahead and speak to yourself? Not prophesying yet. Can you speak to yourselves in hymns, in psalms, in spiritual songs? Can we do that? Just speak to yourself. And then after that, we'll begin to prophesy. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will never fail. I will never be defeated. I will never be cut down. The devil will never laugh last in my life. No, it's not possible. I'm a victor forever. The eyes of the Lord are always upon me. His hands are permanently upon me. The hand of the Lord is strong. He's strong and mighty on me. The glory of the Lord fills my life. The strength of the Lord fills my life. The beauty of the Lord fills my life. Speak to yourself. Speak to yourself. In hymns, in psalms, in spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your heart. For the Lord, can we do that? One more, 2 more minutes. After that, you are going to prophesy. Word to come out. The awards that God has given you concerning that situation, you will speak them forth. The awards that God has given you concerning the year, you will speak them forth. This is the holy moment. Speak. Speak to yourself. Speak to yourself. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth shall I make it known. From the rising of the sun until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Just talk. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth shall I make it known. From the rising of the sun until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth shall I make it known. From the rising of the sun till it's going down, I will sing
mercies of the Lord. Oh, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth,
shall I make it known.
Come and sing the song together. From the rising of the sun, right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Oh, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth shall I make it known. From the rising of the sun, right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Oh, from the rising of the sun, right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies. Now you can open your mouth and speak word. Shepeto la prebedi la cosa, imande ko prebedi la cosa. Emendele propetis kali branda kopetosa. Shepeto la prebetonska, ima kopetosa. Shepeto la prebetosika. What has God told you about the year? Speak it. Yes, is my year of the emergence. Is my year of the emergence. No more obscurity. It's my year of the emergence. No more obscurity. Speak it. What has God spoken to you? I'm sailing deeper. I'm soaring higher. I'm sailing deeper. I'm soaring higher. I'm sailing deeper. I'm soaring higher. Oh, cities and nations, are subdued before me. The word of the Lord is strong in my mouth. Hey! The word of the Lord is strong in my mouth. The word of the Lord is potent in my mouth.
I do business in deep waters. I see the works of the Lord. I see his wonders.
What has God told you? Speak it. Speak. Hey, the gates of nations are open to me. The gates of Nigeria are open to me. In the name of Jesus, Ephatah, be open. Shakapelatos, oh, my influence of the gospel reach from the north to the south, from the east to the west. In the name of Jesus, the gates of the nations of the earth are open to me. The gates of Europe, of UK and Europe are open to me. In the name of Jesus, the gates of Africa are open to me. In the name of Jesus, the gates of North America are open to me. In the name of Jesus, the gate of Asia are open to me. In the name of Jesus, I enter into a new realm of apostolic power, apostolic revelation, apostolic influence. Glory zone has broken into the mega Shabala. From among us, governors and nobles are rising. Shabala, Rapatova. Oh, the gang up of hell against my life is crushed. In the name of Jesus, the manipulation of Satan against my destiny, against my home, against my finances, against my ministry. Shapalako, Rekopa, you are crushed.
You are positioned.
Shepeto, I emerge triumphantly. I emerge gloriously. I break out of fear. I break out of mediocrity. I break out of smallness. I break into greatness. The Lord has increased my greatness. The Lord is comforting me on every side. In the name of Jesus, the Lord God of my fathers has made me 1,000 times more. 1,000 times more. He has blessed me as he has promised. Oh, I will not fail. I will not falter.
I will not fail.
Come on, can you prophesy?
I cannot be stopped.
What is that situation?
I
what has God said?
Stopped.
It matters. Go ahead and declare it. Go ahead and prophesy. Go ahead and prophesy. I'm unstoppable. I'm unstoppable.
Nothing can
I saw like the eagle.
Nothing
I saw like the eagle. Begin to bury every opposition. Hey, every economic opposition. I see the anointing of economic power. Begin to declare. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. I break out by the power of the Holy Ghost. I break out by the power of the Holy Ghost. I break out by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, come, Petolaba. The siege is over. The siege is over. Shakala, Palapo, Rapala, Shakato. Concerning glories of church, the siege is over. Shakala, Rapala,
Labas, Ipata,
Ipata. Our enemies are subdued before us. They are crushed.
They are crushed.
Oh
my God.
Glory to the church. The siege is over. You are broken out. You are broken into the knee. Jalikapa. You are broken into the mega. Mega church. Mega revival. Mega miracles, mega finances, mega members, Shakapatola. In the name of Jesus, you are broken out. You are broken into the
mega.
I speak to you, glory zone. You are a church of multitude. You are a house of revival. Revival for the nations.
Yes.
You are a house of God's glory.
Yes.
Oh, you are the wealthy place.
Yes.
You are a house of prosperity.
Yes.
You are a house of prayer.
Yes.
You feed the nations.
Yes, sir.
You are feeding millions.
Yes.
With the bread of God's word. Glory to the church. Hear the word of the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
You have entered the mega.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are in the thousands in membership.
Amen. Amen.
In the billions of naira in money.
Amen.
Global influence.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Through you, millions are coming to the knowledge of the Lord. Millions are disciples.
Yes, sir. Kapatos. Shalabakados. Yalabakados.
Ilibaramandos. Thank you, Lord. Shall I prepare with my mouth? Shall I make it known from the rising of the sun until it's going down? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth, shall I make it known? Yes! From the rising of the sun, right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Lift your hands. With my mouth, shall I make it known? Yes! From the rising of the sun, right until it's going down, I will sing of the glory of the Lord. I will sing of the power of the Lord. I will sing of the glory of the Lord. I will sing of the power of the Lord. Shakabalanoka. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Yeah, with my mouth, lift your hands. I see miracles. I see distributions of the Holy Ghost. Just 3 minutes, receive. From the rising of the sun, right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth, with my mouth, shall I, just the keyboard, play softly. From the rising of the sun, right until it's going down, I will sing of the power of the Lord. Oh, with my mouth, shall I make it known? Yes. From the rising of the sun, right until it's going down, I will sing all the mercies of the Lord. Oh, with my mouth, shall I make it known? From the rising, from the rising of the sun, right until it's going. Lift your hands, let his glory cover you, let his glory envelop you right where you are. Just lift your hands and close your eyes. Erobatisapatosa. I see people breaking out. I see people breaking out. I see people breaking out. Play. I see people breaking out. Yes. While we're praying, I see the Lord say people are breaking out economically. I hear the angel of the Lord shouting, economic power, economic power. Yes, economic power is part of the manifestations of spiritual power. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Economic power. I see mighty outburst. Mighty outburst in finances. Mighty outburst in businesses and career. Yet I see mighty outburst in personal encounters of the God kind. Mighty outburst. Mighty outburst in prayer life. Mighty outburst. Lift your hands, close your eyes, and receive. Make it known. From the rising of the sun, akepetos, pass, sepete, pass, pass, take, ekapeko tileko. Shepetola, there are at least 5 people. The power of God will rest on them like a weight from heaven. Shkapatola balatipa. It will mark a new season. In the name of Jesus, take. Yes, yes, yes. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord. Oh, with my mouth shall I make it known. Whoa, from the rising of the sun, right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercy of the Lord. Oh, I will sing of the mercy of the Lord. Oh, I will sing of the beauty of the Lord. I will sing of the honor of the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. God is touching people as we are singing. God is touching people. I see a lady, that low abdominal pain is gone forever. You have cried. You have pleaded. I speak in the name of Jesus. Lista vora bene kota sile kupa. In this service, I terminate the tenor of that pain. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I terminate the tenor of that pain. in the name of Jesus. There's a lady right now, you are going through a heartbreak. It's as though your world is shattered. I speak in the name of Jesus. The peace of God, the peace. Yes! The peace of God that surpasses human understanding is blowing over your mind. It's settling upon your heart like a plane will land in a tarmac. In the name of Jesus, you are leaving this service with peace. Shalom! Shalom! I speak to that marriage undergoing, having that storm. Yes, the Lord has seen your heart cry. I speak to that storm and I declare peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. Talakote siste poraba delekepa. There's somebody here. The only thing you have known this year is losing money. You've lost money. The most significant thing. Who is the person? The most significant thing that has happened to you this year was that you lost money. I want to pray for you. Just wave like this. You don't need to come out. In the overflow. Just wave. Wave your right hand like this if you are the person. Just wave. The only significant thing you know this, apart from counting God's goodness, is that you've lost money. Raise your hand. Father, in the name of Jesus. Do you believe I'm a prophet sent to you? Raise your hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand upon your mercy. I stand upon your power. I stand in my office. I speak to every hand lifted in that category. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, let there be a restoration that will put tears in your eyes. Let there be a restoration in the name of Jesus that will shock them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, a restoration that will put them far ahead of all the lost. In the name of Jesus, at least 10 times more. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and we give you honor. Father, we thank you. Just close your eyes and bow your heads. The anointing of God's word is here. I'm trying to close because I promise we're to close now. Amen.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.